When they reached the haunted house, there was something so weird and grisly about the dead silence that reigned there under the baking sun, and something so depressing about the loneliness and desolation of the place that they were afraid for a moment to venture in. Then they crept to the door and took a trembling peep. They saw a weed-grown, floorless room, unplastered, an ancient fireplace, vacant windows, a ruinous staircase, and here, there, and everywhere hung ragged and abandoned cobwebs. They presently entered softly, with quickened pulses, talking in whispers, ears alert to catch the slightest sound, and muscles tense and ready for instant retreat. In a little while, familiarity modified their fears, and they gave the place a critical and interested examination, rather admiring their own boldness and wondering at it, too. Next, they wanted to look upstairs. This was something like cutting off retreat, but they got to daring each other, and of course, there could be but one result. They threw their tools in a corner and made the ascent. Up there were the same signs of decay. In one corner, they found a closet that promised mystery, but the promise was a fraud. There was nothing in it. Their courage was up now and well in hand. They were about to go down and begin work when, "Shh," said Tom.
"What is it?"
whispered Huck, blanching with fright.
"Shh, there, hear it." "Yes, oh my, let's run. Keep still. Don't you budge. They're coming right towards the door."
The boys stretched themselves upon the floor with their eyes to knot holes in the planking and lay waiting in a misery of fear.
"They've stopped. No, coming. Here they are. Don't whisper another word, Huck. My goodness, I wish I was out of this."
Two men entered. Each boy said to himself, "There's the old deaf and dumb Spaniard that's been about town once or twice lately. Never saw t'other man before." T'other was a ragged, unkempt creature with nothing very pleasant in his face. The Spaniard was wrapped in a serape. He had bushy white whiskers, long white hair flowed from under his sombrero, and he wore green goggles. When they came in, T'other was talking in a low voice. They sat down on the ground, facing the door, with their backs to the wall, and the speaker continued his remarks. His manner became less guarded, and his words more distinct as he proceeded.
"No," said he, "I've thought it all over, and I don't like it. It's dangerous."
"Dangerous?"
grunted the deaf and dumb Spaniard, to the vast surprise of the boys.
"Milksop."
This voice made the boys gasp and quake. It was Injun Joe's. There was silence for some time. Then Joe said,
"What's any more dangerous than the job up yonder? But nothing's come of it."
"That's different. Away up the river so, and not another house about. 'Twon't ever be known that we tried anyway, long as we didn't succeed."
"Well, what's more dangerous than coming here in the daytime? Anybody would suspicion us that saw us."
"I know that, but there wasn't any other place as handy after that fool of a job. I want to quit this shanty. I wanted to yesterday, only it wasn't any use trying to stir out of here with those infernal boys playing over there on the hill right in full view."
Those infernal boys quaked again under the inspiration of this remark and thought how lucky it was that they had remembered it was Friday and concluded to wait a day. They wished in their hearts they had waited a year. The two men got out some food and made a luncheon. After a long and thoughtful silence, Injun Joe said,
"Look here, lad. You go back up the river where you belong. Wait there till you hear from me. I'll take the chances on dropping into this town just once more for a look. We'll do that dangerous job after I've spied around a little and think things look well for it. Then for Texas, we'll leg it together."